if there really is a God. If God is real, and He is really the Creator, and more than that, He's actually a sustainer and actually doing a work for us to know that we have fellowship with that God, is a pretty bold statement. To walk around and to know with absolute assurance that I am having fellowship with this God, that's a bold statement. And it's one that God wants us to know about, and He wants us to learn. So we're going to continue in our study of 1 John. We're going to learn what this is. I want to recap with you real quick. For some of you guys that haven't been with us, we're not very far in, guys. It's the very book, but here's some things that we have determined. And you can go back and read 1 John chapter 1. But let me just give you a few things that's been established. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. He is saying, I have had fellowship with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. So John knows all about it. He's writing from an actual understanding of what it means to fellowship with Him. He also says that God is writing this book unto us and to the people who are receiving it. In verse 4, that these things we write to you that your joy may be full. He is writing to give us joy. Now listen, some of you guys that are visiting with us today, you know that I'm not the health and wealth, and I'm not the, hey, listen, when you come to here, when we tell you that everything's always works out, and everything is, there's no turmoil, there's no trials, I should say. But what I am here to tell you is in the middle of trials, that we teach people what James says, that we can have joy in those trials. What I'm here to tell you is that when the God of the Father and the Son Jesus Christ, talking about having us fellowship with Him, we don't ever want to get to that point and say, that's not joyful. Right? What would it mean for us to declare that we are Christians in fellowship with God, but we don't have joy? I don't know about you guys, but if I was on the other side of this and you declared there was true fellowship with God, but you do not have joy in your life, I am thinking something is missing. And I, quite honestly, don't care to have what you got. Right? Because, again, we're talking about a pretty big deal to have fellowship with the God of the universe. But no, I don't have joy in my life. Something has to be missing then. Something, right? Somewhere there's a disconnect. There's always a disconnect when we don't speak truth. I had an opportunity one time when I was a very young guy, and we were down in a particular area of the town doing a vacation Bible school. Later, there was a group of people that were teaching these young kids that God is your best friend, Jesus is your buddy, and if you'll just listen to Him, everything will work out perfect, right? And this little boy, one of the helpers, young boy, was sick. I mean, one of those people shouldn't have been there. Snot, you know, it's like, you know, it's just allergies. Like, yeah, right, that's contagious stuff. You know, just snots everywhere. He's probably got a fever, but he's there, you know. And this young little kid, this little boy, looks at him, and I'll never forget it. Looks at him and says, hey, I don't remember the guy's name. Why are you sick? He said, well, I'm just sick. You know, I'm just, you know, what's the answer? Little boy stops. He's just looking at him. He's like, no, why are you sick? And the guy's just kind of, you know, he's like, well, you know, this kind of, you know, it happens. You pick up germs or whatever. The child was asking, you've told me you have fellowship and everything will be good, but you're sick. Doesn't line up with what you've been telling me, basically. That's the problem. And as simple as that, we miss sometimes that what people are saying on the fellowship, what we're communicating onto the world, just doesn't line up. So again, 1 John. Woohoo, I'm excited. Because 1 John is going to tell us, is writing to me to teach me where my joy should be. But man, it's going to have to be very much linked to this fellowship with Jesus Christ. So that's what we covered a little bit. Right? And then right quickly after that, guys, We talked about the issue of sin and that God is light, in Him is no darkness. So last week, one thing we talked about is, listen, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we have to know something. We are people of confession. Listen, we are okay with discussing sin and having people get real with their sin and say, listen, I have sin in my life. Because 1 John says, if you say you don't have sin, everything's rosy and you're always doing everything perfect, you are a liar. So he says, how do we deal with this? And so we were talking about how we grow together last week. How do we grow in a fellowship when we actually confess sin? So here's what I want to ask you. How many confessions were made this week? We talked about it last week, guys. It was one of my biggest points to get you to is how many confessions. Not as if you got to chalk them up on the wall and say, hey, I got 10 compared to your 5, right? Most people are always like, no, I don't have. In this context, I'm telling you, we should have more. More wins in this case. Man, let me tell you something. I've been growing in the Lord. I've been realizing where my sin is. I've been seeing more than I knew was even there. I mean, more is actually the winner here. But most of us go towards the opposite side. Nah, I don't have that. Right, everything's going pretty good. How you doing? I'm doing pretty good. Confession of sin, guys. Here's what I want to do before we go any further, because I love you. I love you guys. And I know that most of you listened to me last week. You listened to 1 John. I don't know what that's like, and I'm not asking you to tell me. But I want to pray with you because I know how important it is. So before we get into the new lesson, let's just pray about how it went last week. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. And I'd like to openly, as a group, as a body of believers, have a prayer in this part of our worship service. A prayer of confession. Now, Father, you have not... I'm not a prophet. And I don't know what's in the minds of the people that are here. I don't know the specifics of where the sin has been. But Father, I know, based upon your word, that we're not without sin. And I know myself. And so I know my own struggles. So Father, if I'm the worst of us, then trust me, I have confessions to be made. In 1 week's time, I have confessions to be made. Father, there are sins that are openly committed just in exact opposition to what your word says. We have done things that are very clear. And if somebody when was around us would say, this is not just following after the Lord. These are open and blatant sins before you. Father, for those that have been committed, for those that our family maybe have seen or been close to us or have witnessed or has endured, whatever. Father, I would ask that at this moment, because we can come to you, I ask you forgive us. Father, I acknowledge that we have done those things. Father, what I'm also probably more worried about in my life is how many are not being confessed. How many of because I'm not growing fast enough or deep enough into your word, or because I'm growing in time constraints in other areas. How much of my mind is coming before you for the sins that are there, that are of my heart and the intentions of my heart that are there that I'm not even paying attention to. Father, those are still sins. Father, it doesn't matter. When we break your law, we break your law. So Father, for those that are happening, and some of those that are happening without us even realizing, Father, bring those to light. Father, it's not about duties and rules. It's because honestly, Father, we don't want to hurt you anymore. If we could help you, Father, we won't want to put Christ back upon the cross, obviously. Father, we don't want the sin that is trying its best to control us to reign in our lives. So, Father, for that, because we love you, Father, before we go any further today, lay it down now. We confess it before you. We do not want to continue this week in that. We want to grow in our relationship with you. Father, I have to anticipate that this is not only my heart, but the heart of the people that are here today. So collectively, as one strong prayer, I pray you receive this. Push us forward in your word, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, If that's settled, and I wouldn't say settled, but if you've learned that, if not, you can go back and read along in 1 John. We're going to continue. And today, if you're taking notes or if you want to know what we're going to discuss, today's title comes in a form of a question, and it's, do you know God? See, we're talking about fellowship, but today we're going to get to a text that just begs the question, do you know God? It's a desire of Him that you have this answered. God doesn't want us going through this life without having this clearly declared be a yes or no, right? You ever ask somebody, their answer is kind of like this? I don't know. You know, they're shrugging their shoulders. I kind of think, right? This should be a yes or a clear no. This is a hot or cold issue with us. Do you know God? I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we get back, though, away from a clear yes to this world of, I think I do, but maybe I'm not growing the way I need to. Do you know Him? Well, it's God's desire that He can, that not only that we understand this, He's going to teach us through this text, but He is going to pull us again into this amazing fellowship with Him. And what He's going to do this morning for us is He's going to give us a test of confirmation in your life if you know Him. It is a test so you will know that either I pass or I fail, right? And this is not a test where like in school where I hovered around that whatever got me past the grade, right? Got me the next grade. For me, it was, some classes were B's. I was really thankful. And some classes it was D's because that meant I passed. Hovered in that realm right there. That's where I was. God is going to give us a test where it's like, listen, this is it. And I want you to leave today with a confirming yes or a confirming no. That's where you need to be. If the answer is yes, then you're going to know how to continue that. If the answer is no, you're going to know what to do with that. But the Word of God in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, follow along with what the Word of God has to say about this. This is not my sermon. This is not my question. It says, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Guys, again, this is why I like 1 John. It's just an easy declaration of what God wants to communicate. I'm a simple guy. And I can read this. It says, now by this we know that we know Him. If. The interjection of the word if means that there is a qualifying answer to be determined here. If we keep His commandments. Guys, as I move through this text, I've had to stop before I know where we're going. And as I was studying, I knew that this test, I knew that this is something that's going to be easy to define a little bit this morning. There's going to be some parts about this. Some of this may just be minor and easy, I should say. So I started thinking about what makes it so difficult. Why is it so difficult to keep His commandments? We'll talk about that. It's obviously obedience is equal to the fellowship with Him, but what makes it difficult? And I thought, it's a standard answer for me. Not knowing what is true makes it difficult. Not only not knowing what's true, I started thinking about how many teachings have been out there and have taught people wrong things. How many heretical tendencies do we have that have controlled this relationship, this fellowship? How many heretical things have we listened to that is disrupting that fellowship? How many errors are out there? Because one, if we just say that we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments, a lot of people are just going to stand up and say, yeah, I keep His word. But what are the tendencies that are out there? What are the things that are causing us to think differently? Well, I can tell you that we find ourselves in this day and age experiencing some errors, some tendencies that are probably trying to teach us some things that are not true that in closing I want to address. But I want you to know that during this time, they were up against a hard teaching of Gnosticism and a hard thing that was coming against the church during this age. I'm sure some of you guys have been in church long enough have heard of the term Gnosticism. I usually will not give you a lot of contextual things about as far as the culture, but the culture is important to understand. But I want you to know how important it is as related to our text. Because our Scripture says to know God. The Greek word for to know is gnosis. And what is happening during this time is gnosis. I'm not even going to say it correctly. Gnosticism came during this time, and Gnosticism started being taught in such a way, it wasn't as if that what they had is they had some teachers out there and they had a church that it was the church, like we were studying this morning, the church at Antioch, but then you got the Gnostic church down the street, right? Well, they're teaching heresy and we're teaching, right? What's happening is that in the relationships of the Christians and some of the teachers, in the confines of the religious system, some untruth started to come in. And it happened long after Christ. So what I want you to know is that it just starts to creep in this way. And it's because people are trying to figure out God, right? Again, they're trying to figure out this relationship. How do I deal with God? And they start answering the question. That's what they're doing. They're answering the question based upon something that is not true. And so here's kind of what it is. Jesus Christ was there. Let me just give you just a quick overview really quickly. Jesus Christ was in the world, obviously noticeable, right? Obviously, Christ was a noticeable prophet. People were believing in Jesus Christ. Then people after Christ is gone have to start determining, well, what did all this mean, right? Here goes that question. What does the world mean to me or you, right? All these questions that are out there. Well, guess what the world starts to do? They start setting in. This is what it meant. This is what it meant. This is what it meant. And it's happening today. This is what it means. This is what it means. This is what it means. Instead of going back to the clear instruction of the apostles at this time, the clear instructions of the teaching, they were diverting away. So this is what they came up with. And there's a lot more you can study on this, is that it's just this dualism that spirit is good and all matter is evil. So when Jesus was in the world, He obviously was a spirit. So that part about Him was obviously good. And they knew that He was good. But there's this issue. He was in the flesh. And all flesh is evil. All matter is evil. It has to be. God, Jesus could not be perfectly God and perfectly human. They could not settle that issue. So here's what they did. Well, let's just separate the two. Then Jesus was good. Because He's a spirit. But the physical side of all these things, that was just the flesh. The flesh was had to be dealt with. The flesh was crucified. All these things. All you need to know is this. You can go study some more. They started teaching. They started listening to some things that were not true. And so this is what they, out of this developed system, this is what they got to. The only way to know God is through the spiritual. Because spirit is good. Got to know Him spiritually. But all matter is evil. Therefore, what I do in my flesh, because I'm stuck in my flesh, right? We know that. They weren't saying that the flesh, they were dealing with some people deal with today. Look, the flesh has its problems, right? So separate it over. And it's just our flesh and there's nothing you can do about it, right? And so they separated those two. So they would learn, and for them to know God was all in a spiritual realm. And the flesh was just what it was. And so what happened in the flesh didn't matter as much. Now you're starting to catch on a little bit? What happened, but what did matter is knowledge. Knowledge. They would teach, they would understand, and they got to the point that you could only know God for them, Gnostics were like they have reached to a superior knowledge, a spiritual knowledge that, quite honestly, nobody else can deal with. He's like, what are you going to do with that? They're in the spiritual world, right? Let's go to the Scripture. Oh, no, no, no. That's not related to their spiritual world they're living in, right? You can't even debate it because it's in a spiritual realm almost. It's outside of the logical thought of the Word of God. And so they just elevated themselves. And so some like the Pharisees, a little bit different though, they started elevating this thought process. And, oh, let's grow in the Spirit. And so they taught, that's how you know God, through the Spirit and through this higher knowledge, right? You're catching on to this. The word he's using, it says, to know God is to keep His commandments. So here's what 1 John is doing. He is actually taking one of the biggest heretical teachings and he is dealing with it head on. To know God, spiritual, just keep His commandments physically. Oh man, I don't know about all this. Now for them, you can't do that. How? You can't do that because we're evil people. And I can't quit doing the things that I do, right? I had a conversation with somebody just recently. A young man told me, he said, I was talking to this guy, and you know, I got a limit. Once I hit my limit, there just ain't no stopping it. I mean, he's just going to have to know that he's not going to say this or that, right? I just set himself up of, look, I can only do so much. But boy, when the level hits the level, I mean, this is just what it is, right? No concern for... I'm making her cry. Rebecca, I told you she probably wouldn't bother me. I understand. If you like that cry room, will probably help you out tremendously. Take her back there. She can play, maybe. Poor Christina. My sister's name's Christina. Sometimes I probably made her cry too. I don't know. Anyhow, so I'm talking with this young man, and it's like we've justified it, right? It don't matter. When my flesh hits its... When the flesh is the flesh, look, it doesn't matter, right? There's no control. That thought process is just running rampant in here. This thought process is trying to deal what is the inevitable, right? We all mess up. We're all sinners. Aren't you glad that we're going to get through 1 John and it's already taught us, listen, I'm not talking about you being perfect. When he's going to say to know God and to keep His commandments, this is what it can't mean. It can't mean perfection, right? Because you already said you're a liar. There's a couple of liars in here, okay? In the Scriptures. A couple of liars here. The one liar is the one that says, listen, if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. So we're obviously, as he gets on this next point, he's thinking, he's obviously talking to a group of people that can understand these things and follow it. So when I break it down from one sermon to the next, I'm assuming that you're going to follow with me and understand that this does not mean perfection. Keeping His commandments. If you're getting a little bit nervous on this, that's obviously not what it means. But it means that somewhere in the fellowship, to know Him means that we keep and obey His commandments. To know, simple statement, is to obey. To know is to obey. This is what 1 John is doing. The knowledge of God, which is important, and fellowship with Him are complementary. Okay? They're complementary. They go hand in hand. To know God and to keep His commandments in fellowship, those two things, obedience unto Him, they complement each other. Right? It's not... It's quite honest, we're going to see this morning, it's automatic. It's not all the time, though. Hopefully that some of you guys have had somebody that's been dear in your life. I know I have my earthly father who I love dearly. and found myself wanting to please my Father because I knew my Father. You know what I also knew about my Father? There's some things He likes and there's clearly some things He does not. As a young boy and still to this day, to be around my Father and fellowship with my Father, I find myself enjoying doing the things that please my Father. It's a relationship. It's a familiarity with who my Father is. Right? I don't have to go up to my Father as maybe some of you meet the first time. Here's a challenge for me that's never been around my dad. Start talking to my dad about sports. You're going to find you. That conversation is not going to go very long. It won't be much fellowship talking about sports. My dad's hardly ever followed me. He followed some racing. This is not him, right? So I can sit by like, oh, that's not going to go very good because I know my Father. We are forgetting sometimes that to know our Father means that not only we fellowship with Him, but the obedience comes because it comes from this right heart and right attitude. It's just being consistent. Consistent with a relationship. Again, consistent with a fellowship with Him. So I started thinking about this and I know the test. Listen, let's just deal with maybe somewhat of an easy part of the test. Let's just say this, guys. One of the reasons that 1 John is given to us is because we do live in a time in which most people don't have any test for them to know if they're fellowshipping the Lord. But this scripture is saying, listen, there is, let's just say, any issue that's out there. Whatever thing is going on in somebody's life, if they are a believer, confessing to be a believer, or they're not a believer, to know God, if they are not willing to subject themselves underneath the commandments of the Lord, then they do not know Him. That's clear. And you'll find this a lot. And this is maybe the easiest part of my sermon. But you will find, again, this may be hard for you, but I found it so easy just to look out into the world and just to observe or discuss things with the Lord with people. And when somebody says, I know that's what is true, or I know that's what you think, but I'm not doing that, then immediately, you know what you think? You don't know God. You do not know God. And trust me, we're living in a sea of people that have been taught some very bad things, and obedience just is not one of them. Listen, and I won't say completely generational, but we do need to know some of the generations that we have now. In all honesty, we have a group of people now that the only thing you can't say is that there's a difference between right and wrong now. Generations before me, trust me, it was right and wrong. There was definitely a line there. Now, I wasn't a part of that generation, but I'm thinking, well, how do they conceal so much sin? You know, you start thinking about, because they always talk like, you know, that things were different during their time. But I know the nature of people, and I'm sure that sin was just as bad. But it's like as if that generation or generation before us was better than us. I don't know, but all I know is the nature of sin. But as we're in the world I'm living in now, is that we don't deal with commandments. Right? We don't use that term. We don't deal with obedience. Because as soon as you go to somebody and say, this is what the Lord says, are you willing to follow Him? Well, how dare you judge me? See, this is the easy spot. This is where, honestly, I know most of you guys, we're here, right? This doesn't take a lot of explanation. We get it. So since I'm going to try to keep this somewhat short, I wanted to start thinking about why is obedience so important? We know it's a test. But I want to elevate obedience in your mind so when you walk out of here, you can say, I know, not I feel why obedience is important, but I know why it's such a clear test and why I have to pass the test. This is it. Obedience is the testimony of His work. Catch this with me. This may not take some of you guys long either. Obedience is a testimony of His work. See, when I ask you this morning if to know God means you obey God, you're thinking, oh great, am I doing it? Right? And here's what I can leave you with this morning. Hey, this week, you're going to obey God more this week than you did last week. You can do this. Get me a Nike symbol somewhere in there, change it to make a Christian symbol or something like that, and let's go. Get some t-shirts made. We are going to obey God. Just let's get ready. And that's what the Christian world wants to start teaching people. It is not going to happen unless we are fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ and He is doing a work. If that's not going to be, then it's just not going to happen. And that concerns me. Because there's all different ways to try to make it happen. And people are concealing how to make it happen. And it's a false relationship built on false pretenses that will not bring people closer unto the Lord, right? It's false. Well, no, this is just some of my struggles, but I want to do this. That's clearly against God's law. Well, I know, but I'm struggling. Well, you'll be okay. I know you love the Lord, so everything's going to be okay. There's so many false relationships out there. I don't know if you guys have been in a false relationship, but what happens eventually? False relationship. You treat somebody, you treat them a certain way, right? Or you try to just act like something's not really there when it's really there. Hey, it's going great. And you're over here talking about somebody at work or whatever, you know. Eventually what happens is that relationship collides and it breaks down, doesn't it? Because it's built on something that's not true. Our relationship unto the Lord, if it's not based upon fellowship and truth, it's going to break down. The reason it's a test is not because God is trying to get you to have enough ambition, but He's trying to show you that He has enough. That He, when He says what He says He'll do, He will fulfill His promise. What it means is that when God says He will save a soul that does not deserve it, the "And Can I Be" song, when He takes one of us that can sing the song accurately, how in the world, when He saves that soul, it's not for anything more than us to be able to see that He has done a work in us. And we find ourselves always declaring, this is what He's doing, this is what He's doing. And so the reason that we can keep His commandments is because He says, listen, I won't ever let you go. And if you try to get a long ways out, this is really the best illustration I think off the top of my head right now. I want to leave, right? But the illustration we have is nobody can snatch us out of His hand, right? That's what He says. None can snatch you out of my hand. I'm going to let you go real hard. I'm going to let you go a long distance. Then I'm going to jerk you right back unto me. Ouch, right? That hurt. But the truth of the matter is that He says we are in His hands. Sheep. Another definition. I don't know a good illustration for that. I'll leave names out of this one. But sheep. As they go out, right? What does He say that He's going to do with sheep? The sheep know Him and hear His voice. And He is the good shepherd. So as they get out, He's protecting them. And He'll leave the 99 to go get the one. It's because He's fulfilling His promise unto Himself. Unto Himself in His glory. Not because that sheep looked better than the other sheep. That one just decided to run a little further. And so what we find in 1 John when he says that we keep His commandments, I want to just give you a few verses that you can say, listen, this is what He's doing. If you want, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It comes from the Old Testament, so it's not as if this is just a New Testament principle, but this is what he says. 10 and verse 16. This is why we keep His commandments. He says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. He says that the new covenant, he's going to do something different. Listen, guys, we're living in different times. He says, I will make a covenant with him. And when you hear the word covenant, this is a promise. And in a covenant, God will never be found to be breaking that covenant. And when he enters into a covenant relationship with people, it is a binding covenant. It's not he might put his laws, or if you will do everything you can in your own power. No, listen to me. When he enters into a covenant, it's contractual and it's been put there by the blood of Jesus Christ. But he says, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. This is why we keep his commandments. This is why when we know God, if we say we have fellowship with him, if you know God, you keep. If you know, you keep. Well, why? Well, because I was taught. Katie, Ashley, you guys are doing a great job teaching our young kids. Teach them good foundation, right? I know God because I obey his commandments because I was taught his commandments. Wrong answer, right? You can teach somebody all day long. They can recite it just like this, right? Doesn't mean they're going to keep them. Matter of fact, over and over again, if somebody is doing it for their own purposes, you know what they're going to find? This is what they're going to find. It will be the self-righteous person. Eventually, God's going to just pull the rug right out of them and says, you try all you want. Keep trying to tell your people around you, your friends, all the people in the world, and God's just going to go, whoop! You're on your backside because he just pulled the rug out. Because you can't keep it. What has he told us? We can't ever keep it. It's like, that's what he saved us from. He tells us to love God and love people. Something we can't do. We can't do it. But Christ through us does do it. Because he puts it right here. And I love this. He puts it right there in the heart, right? Minds, but also, because look, we're not dealing with raising up a generation of people that don't know intellectually, what is the law of God? I mean, we could talk all day about what the law, the moral law is. We could go into the Psalms that talks about what it means for us to establish the law upon our hearts and how much you need to learn the law. And I'm going to leave you with some of that. You need to grow. You need to know what the law is. But I love that it says into the heart. Because what do we always want when obedience, when we have the obedience issue, right? What do we want? Parents? Just to do it from the heart. Why? Because there's fellowship right there, right? It's not like, oh, I finally learned. I finally got that child to learn. It is when it gets into the heart, it happens automatically. Why did you do that? I wanted to. Parent goes, what? That was awesome. You did it because you wanted to? Praise God. You know, woohoo. I mean, we're excited about it, man. It gives us joy, right? As a parent, you're like, this is great. Christians are walking around. Why are you doing it? Because I learned I need to. Because I must do this. And I want to take the next step. And we talked about keeping the commandments. Today, I'm going to keep the commandments. Man, guys, we need to get free into the heart. Just says, because I love the Lord. Because I love the Lord. Because he's put it right there. Now you know you got something, right? See, now you know what? I have fellowship, right? Now I know Scripture. I can teach. I know the Bible. I'm not asking you to tell me how many commandments you know. I'm asking you, what is your relationship? What does your fellowship look like? What is fellowship unto you? And how is then the world, is that related? How is that related unto the commandments that you're keeping? What does it look like? See, now you're catching on to that. As you look to the test, you're not coming in here trying to stack up just how many commandments, right? Now you're getting into the test is actually more of a test of God's hand on your life. And there's this steadiness to it. There's steadiness to it. It's not, did you break Did you break off, or did you do something wrong? Listen, he doesn't mind, so I can tell you that Joshua and I keep enough in touch, thankfully, that I can jump into different periods of my life. But I know one thing, he'll ask me about my life. And hopefully he'll find out. He's not calling a guy who's got it always figured out. Right? But why is it I can get into a conversation about my relationship with the Lord? The only thing that would ever scare me, especially would scare me with him, is if he doesn't want to talk about the Lord, right? That's the issue. It's not, hey brother, that's what I'm working on in my life right now. That's not the scary issue. The issue is the continuance of the desire to obey. That's where you're at. So we're not leading up a group of people. It doesn't matter. We are leading up a group of people, and the answer to the yes or the no is the continuance in that. In the relationship, you know what that answer is. You honestly, you know how to declare that answer. I could go on for quite a while. Let me just somewhat close with, are you obeying? Where is the heart, right? Where is the heart? Where's the heart in issue? Where is the testimony? Do you actually know that your knowledge of God is related to a fellowship with God and you're growing in your obedience unto Him? Do you know that is happening? Because it also goes on and says that to know Him is also to walk as Jesus Christ walked. So here it is. We're not saying it's not just intellectual knowledge, and it's not as if we just look past it and it doesn't matter. We are called to be holy as Jesus Christ is holy. So there is some walking, just as He walked. And so He's wanted you to know that there is the ability to do it. Your ability to walk as Christ has walked is there. Because He's given us His Spirit as a helper, right? Praise God, we may be baptized, but we understand we have a Spirit within us that is a helper. Because He's given it to us for that reason. God, again, I feel like I could just go on, and I think I know most of you. And I think that, thankfully, the testimony I have is that you know Him. I would pray that you will continue in that and that you will grow in your knowledge of Him through a relationship and through obedience. And I would pray that you will get to something where it says right down to the test of, are you going to obey me? I'm going to pray. Sorry for this. I am a little, maybe, if you think this is not in your best interest, but it really is. But I'm going to pray in closing that God puts something before you where He says, are you going to obey me? Will you obey me in this? Or are you obeying me in this? And I hope that you get to a point where you think, well, yes, and then sometimes you get to the point, well, maybe not. You know what? Maybe not. I hope there's things in your mind that as you relate to the Lord, that it gets to the point where you say, I can't just depend upon all my knowledge in this. I need to refer to my knowledge of who God is, but I need to make some actions and some steps. I need to continue in my fellowship with Him. So it becomes that, because it's, obviously there's got to be a test of obedience. Right? We're not just loosely, you know, that's what it is. I understand, listen guys, I'm wearing my shirt untucked a little more. So, you know, church is just this loose thing. It's just loose, right? We're just kind of getting people kind of directed, hopefully, unto the Lord, you know, just getting them that way. All the sins are out there. We're just kind of kicking them in. Hopefully, we keep it, taking something really broad, and we're keeping it really broad instead of saying, you know what? The way is narrow. Grow in your understanding of the Word and obey it every single time, because you want to obey it. Stop reading the Word and you kill the process. Stop reading His Word and you kill the fellowship, because you're not growing in the commandments. You don't know what they are. Listen to the world and you stopping the fellowship. You will find that just as the heretical teachings of Gnosticism just crept in, that all the heretical things that are out there in this world right now that are teaching people of what it means to be a believer are just going to creep right into your own life. We don't even deal with knowledge anymore. Here we go, off on a side note. We live in a time where all that matters is a confession of one time in sin, and that's it. How do you know you're a child of God? Well, because I said a prayer. That's how I know I'm a child of God. I said a prayer. You're gonna argue with me over that? Right? Well, no, I can't argue that. The guy said a prayer. He believes in the God. God says if you believe. We don't even know how to deal with that when somebody's not following or not willing. We're too scared when somebody, we know that they just don't want to take that step. We're like, let's give them some time to think about that one. They need some time because they're not going to deal with that. We have got to be at that point of brother or sister, you have to obey because you say you want to obey. Come and follow with me. We got to be real enough with people at that moment. And listen, if they don't want to come, then we don't get mad. But we certainly just say, look, then that's not fellowship. I don't know that. That's not fellowship. You're breaking fellowship. I hope you understand these things. I hope this is for the, I would say maybe for the short amount of time this morning you get it. I hope you can answer the question. Spend some time this week answering the question. Do you know Him? How are you obeying? Where are you not wanting to obey? Right? Where's the test? And if you know the answer, or if you are struggling, listen to me. If you're a brother or sister in Christ and you're struggling with some sin, listen to me. If you've been struggling and you've been trying and you've been trying and you're like, this sin is just beating me up. Go get a brother or sister in Christ today. Don't wait. Come get me. That's what I'm here for. Come. Let's talk about it. Let's confess it. Let's do what the Word of God tells us to do. And let's go to Him and beg upon Him. Don't let go, Father. Don't let me go. I've got these tendencies. I got these things, Father. Don't let me go. I'm resting in my assurance that You've got me. I'm going to do my part. But if you know that that's not there, that's not very happening a lot, listen, you need to understand that if you're not, the testimony is not there, and you need to confess Christ, you come get me. Don't leave. Do not leave today. There's no telling. So on. Let me close and tell you, I thank You for Your time. I thank You for your hearts unto the Lord. I love every single one of you here this morning. I'm so happy you're here this morning. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And let's just, as we close before in a prayer, let's just go to God in a prayer as well together. Father, we close out with coming back unto You. And Father, so that for this prayer would be just, let's say it's the first one is just confessing our sins. Let us confess our fellowship through obedience. That, Father, we still have a heart to seek You. That, Father, we still want to obey You. And if there's any struggle there, then, Father, again, we'll go back to confessing. But, Father, strengthen the feeble knees and the hands that are hanging low at times. Strengthen them this morning. That You want to have fellowship with them. And You want them to know that not only have they obeyed in the past, but even now if they're struggling, the obedience is there because of You doing a work in their soul. So Father, help us to see that You are there pulling us unto You. And help us to see that we can confess that we are solid in our faith with You, but we continue to need You and Your fellowship. And we continue to need to follow after You. Father, if You need to chasten us, chasten us. If we need some tests before us to prove this, then put them before us. Put good people right there before us. And Father, if there isn't one here today that have just failed and they can't pass the test because they're not having fellowship with You. Convict them of that, Father. Show them where their heart is. Pull the rug out at the times if you need to, Father. Let those errors of truth just be taken away. Thank You in Your name. Amen. Amen. Guys, we're going to stand. We're going to sing.